Welcome to our audio diaries, and we're recording at the armour and embarkation D-Day 80 event at the time of this recording in the heart of Dorchester, and we're right in the heart of this tremendous convoy of military vehicles. Many of them are American, and we're right in the heart now of the collection of Sherman tanks. And the Sherman tanks, of course, have played such a huge part in World War II. We're at the very top end now of the parade, and it's got some details here. 244 inches, 105 inches width, height 117 inches. Interesting that it's all imperial measurements. Shipping cubic 1,452 cubic feet, and fighting weight is 70,000 pounds. So we may be able to have a word with Cumdy with this particular vehicle, and let's come round to the front. And we're standing right under the gun of this particular Sherman. And hello, we'd like to just have a little word about this particular type of military vehicle, very significant in World War II.
That's right.
The United States Sherman.
The most iconic tank in World War II. This is a US Sherman. It's done out in UK military, British military colours at the moment, as part of the Grenadiers.
And what about the relationship with the Normandy landings in this particular vehicle?
Well, we don't know exactly where and when this was this vehicle was used, but of course the Sherman was used in the D-Day landings. Particularly some interesting Shermans called DDs, duplex drives, where they put a big canvas shield around the tank, and they actually took it in the water, so it was an amphibious tank, which is incredible. And because of the weight of these tanks, they're over 30 tons, sat very deep in the water with just the canvas keeping the water out. Quite amazing.
Pretty daredevil thing that, wasn't it? Because if the water had started coming over the top of that canvas,
well, or if the if the canvas had been snagged by some incoming fire or something like that, soon the water comes in and you haven't got much chance. So it was, and I think when you watch all of that Normandy landing stuff, what gets you is the speed of all these vehicles in the water is quite slow, and everything in the water is quite slow. So really, it was the sheer force of numbers going up the beach that really that overcame the Germans.
Yeah, I think that really sort of, as somebody, one of your colleagues said earlier this afternoon, caught with her pants down, I think.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's some really lovely stories. There was a big build-up of decoys in Dover because the British were making out that the D-Day landings were going to happen from Dover into the sort of Calais, Calais area.
Hard of Calais, wasn't it?
Hard of Calais area. And of course, it wasn't, and so it was kept very secret up to the last minute that we were going into Normandy. And of course we were lucky that they didn't have strong backup there. Of course the paratroopers went in first and came up from behind as well, and then the sheer numbers coming up the beach was the reason why we were able to overcome. But of course we lost a lot of people in that as well, because as I say, the speed of advance up the beach and through the water, you know, with the ducks and the amphibs and everything else, was very slow, because getting people off boats onto a beach is quite a difficult thing to do.
Quite a palaver, really, isn't it?
It is.
And of course, remember, Pegasus Bridge was the vital first bit of the chapter, wasn't it?
That's right, it was. And we saw some lovely stuff in the last
the last couple of weeks over there, and some beautiful vehicles and some great amphibious vehicles as well, looking at sort of showing how that happened, which was lovely to see.
What is interesting as well from the enemy's side was that so many of the generals, including Rommel, had gone off on leave at the time of the D-Day landings, and he'd gone off to see his wife, I think, on holiday, and yet again we caught them out.
I wasn't aware of that, but yes, I mean, it was there was so much subterfuge. And it's interesting that, you know, you just can't really imagine it today, can you? Because the kind of technology we have to see things, but so much of it was, you couldn't, if you didn't have your eyes on it, you didn't know really what was going on.
Exactly. No.
And so it was that subterfuge and that code breaking and all of those things.
Put it all together.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine these days, you know, when we've got computers in our pockets, which are so much more computing power than we even took to the moon in the 60s. You know, it's incredible, really.
Yeah. So, thank you very much indeed for having a word with us at this major event and this very solemn remembrance of the sacrifices made on the beaches and in the ensuing horrific Battle of Normandy, and of course in all the other theatres of war.
And that's why we're here, and that's why we keep these old vehicles going, because it's so important to remember the amazing sacrifices that these people made, and not forget that, and not forget how important that is, and how that's really given us the freedom that we've got today.
Indeed, a good point on which to end. So, from the Sherman tank section, the leading section of this great armada of military vehicles, we'll hand you back now to the studio.